100 years ago today, the first expedition to summit Denali was slowly making its way up the mountain. After setting out from Fairbanks in mid-March, the four-man team finally topped out on North America's tallest peak on June 7, 1913. It's often called the Stuck Expedition, after Hudson Stuck, the man who organized it. But a new book tells the story of the man who led the expedition to the top. Harry Carstens was a determined sled dog mail carrier with no previous climbing experience. Tom Walker is the author of the book called The 70-Mile Kid, The Lost Legacy of Harry Carstens and the First Ascent of Mount McKinley. He relies on a previously undiscovered diary of one of the expedition members and an important missing section of Hudson Stuck's journal to reveal a new version of the historic climb. Walker says Hudson Stuck badgered Carstens to climb Denali with him until he finally agreed to the 1913 expedition.
And they were to go as equal partners, and they were to share in everything. And right away, when they got on the glacier, it became very apparent to Carstens that Stuck, for some reason, did not have the experience he claimed to have at climbing. Stuck had always hired guides. And once they got on the Muldrow, it was very apparent that A, he didn't have the ability, and B, he was actually quite frail. So when they started out, he couldn't do a lot of the work. So the work shifted from equal partners to Carstens being a guide. And this infuriated him. And one day when they went out to advance their trail, and they had to turn around because Stuck started to falter, when they got back to camp, Harry pointed and says, "I'll even put in a camp up there," and pointed to the pass between the two peaks, the north and south peak of Denali, "if I have to get you there."
Let's talk about Robert Tatum a bit. The journal of expedition member Robert Tatum turned out to be the missing link. How did you find the journal, and what did it reveal?
I have to give a lot of credit to Ken Carstens, who is Harry Carstens' great-grandson, and he is a stay-at-home dad in Colorado, and he's on the internet all of the time. And I'd searched for years and years to find Tatum's journal. I knew there was one, but I could never find it. I tried the Episcopal Church archives in Austin, Texas. And finally, Ken, doing research, found one brief, tiny reference to the Robert Tatum papers at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. And his father, Gene, flew to Knoxville to look in those papers and see what was there, and he physically found the journal. And it had never been accessed since the time it had been donated to the University of Tennessee. So he got me a copy. I read it, and it was as detailed as Stuck's, but it revealed a whole nother side of the expedition that no one was aware of. The controversy afterwards was that Stuck and Carstens never got along and never spoke after the climb, and Tatum's revealed many of the reasons why, as he saw it. And as you read it, you went, oh my gosh, the real leader of this expedition was Harry Carstens. He and Walter Harper were the powerhouses behind the four climbers. They were the engine that drove this climb. And Stuck and Tatum were like tourists would be that had hired guides to go to the summit.
What was it like to read when you finally got a copy of Tatum's journal? How did that fit?
This just fit one more piece of the puzzle. My real contribution to the history of the whole thing was actually finding part of Stuck's missing diary. When he'd climbed the mountain, he kept this voluminous journal. It's probably a composition-style notebook in flawless handwriting that's very readable with all of the observations. But always what was missing was the one or two weeks around the actual summit climb itself. Once they'd topped Karsten's Ridge, and they did the week of the actual attack on the summit, that had always been missing. And through a lot of diligent research and the help of an archivist in Milwaukee, I finally made contact with Peter Lewis, who had been the former director of the American Geographical Society. And he looked for it and found it for me in Brooklyn, New York. And it was in such poor condition, he wouldn't copy it. He photographed it and sent me the digital photographs. So I was the first person to have the complete stuck remembrances of the climb. And when you put all four of them together, it gave you a whole new impression of what had happened.
What about Walter Harper? He was Alaska Native, and he was actually the first to summit. What was his role?
The order in summiting was Harper, followed by Karstens, followed by Tatum, followed at the end of the rope by Hudson Stuck, who was carrying absolutely nothing in his pack. Everybody had taken his load because he was so physically at his limit. He collapsed on the summit unconscious until he got his wind back. And he'd known for quite a while that he was nearing the end of his rope, so to speak. And the reason that Harper was in the lead was because he had cooked the night before. And his cooking left a little bit to be desired. And he had basically poisoned everybody but himself. As Stuck said in his journal, Walter has a cast iron stomach and nothing affects him.
As you know, Denali is an Athabascan word. Did it seem somehow appropriate that Walter Harper should be the first person to summit?
Well, I think it is. A lot of people think it was a grand scheme to send the native person first, you know, to make some statement, but it wasn't at all. But in retrospect, it was. There's a lot of native names for the summit, but he should have been first. So honoring the native people, I think it was a grand gesture.
Tom Walker's book, The 70-Mile Kid, tells the lost history of the first summit of Denali. June 7th is the 100-year anniversary of their successful climb.